Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our coming King and Savior Jesus. Amen. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also a true man born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. That's our confession of faith as Christians, and we express that in the second article of the Apostles' Creed, and we unpack it like that. And throughout the history of God's people, the church has wrestled at different times holding those two very difficult truths together. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. At different times throughout the history of the church, God's people have struggled to hold those two truths in tension and have been constantly driven back to the scriptures to see what God says. There have been times when the people of God have said, okay, true God, I get it, absolutely, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, absolutely, totally God, but a human, come on. I mean, yeah, I can believe that he's God, but does Jesus clip his toenails? Does he go to the bathroom? Does he get an upset tummy? By the way, that elk chili tonight, whoo, all right. It's easier sometimes to believe in Jesus as God in the clouds. It's easier to believe that than to imagine him burping after a meal. And at other times in the history of God's people, it's easier to say, yeah, he's a man. He's a great man. He's a human teacher, a wise guy, and clearly blessed by God. And he was doing great things by God's power, but he's just kind of, he's a person. He's one of us. And he got elevated somehow. He's a human, of course. And there are times when it's easy to see a very human Jesus and to not hold on to the fact that this very human Jesus is the Lord of the universe, God over all. And so at different seasons in the history of the church, God's people have held on more tightly to one of these truths than the other, and constantly battling with Scripture and debating with one another and going back to God's Word to really wrestle with and embrace the truth of our faith, that God's Word makes clear that Jesus, this one person, fully God, fully man, two natures, one person. And I think in each of our own walks of faith, we probably, I was going to say sway, but maybe stagger between these two. Some days it's easy to see Jesus as a friend and a human and this guy who gets me, but in those moments maybe I lose track of the fact that as God overall, he can actually do something about my situation. And other times I pray to Jesus as God, and I recognize that he is God and the one who reigns, the creator of the heavens, and yet he seems so far away and so removed from my experience that he can't possibly know or care what I'm going through. And so as individuals, we struggle to hold these two truths in tension and sometimes find ourselves holding on more tightly to one than the other. But I think as difficult as it is to hold on to Jesus as God, and as difficult as it is to hold on to Jesus as fully human, I think what's often perhaps more difficult for us is to hold on to Jesus as Lord. Lord. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. I think it's difficult for us to hold on to Jesus as Lord for several reasons, at least in my life. First and foremost, I want to be in charge. Things go better when I'm in charge, obviously. It's not true. But we're all born, myself chief, with this sinful nature that that I rebel against God constantly. I want to depose him as king. I want to sit on the throne. I want to call the shots. I want to be Lord of my life and of yours. We have this sinful nature that puts me as Lord first. I think a second challenge for us as Americans is the fact that in a lot of ways our country was founded on the fact that we have no sovereign here. We don't bow to any king here. I've got a Virginia state flag hanging in my garage. And anybody know the Virginia state motto? It's Sic Semper Tyrannis. And it's got a picture of this person laying on the ground dead with like their crown falling off and somebody standing over them with a spear in their chest. Thus always to tyrants. We have no sovereign here. And so as Americans, I think it's a challenge for us to conceive of a Lord. Someone that we didn't put into authority and could remove authority, but somebody who is in absolute authority over us. That's hard for us. And I think a third thing that makes it very difficult for us to see Jesus as Lord is the fact that it's Christmas time. I mean, he's baby Jesus. He's cute. You know, you wrap them up in swaddling clothes. You ever swaddle a baby? They can't even move their arms. My daughter Alexis would fight against it. She wouldn't sleep until we'd have to like let one out. Oh, and then she could sleep. But you swaddle a kid, they can't do anything about it. They are wrapped up. We have cute little baby Jesus in swaddling cloths asleep in the manger. And as baby Jesus, he makes those baby coos, you know? Those little baby sounds that they just last for a brief time and then they're gone. He makes baby Jesus coos, and he makes baby Jesus poos in his diaper, and he needs somebody to clean him up, and Mary, you know, I don't know if it's the sheep or your son, but you know he's got baby Jesus coos, he makes baby Jesus poos, and shepherds come in and we ooh and we ah over him, right? It's cute. We kind of pat him on the head. We kind of pander to little cute baby Jesus, and when we're done, we just walk away. We give him as much attention as we want to, and when we're done, we're done. We just walk away. He's not lordly in the manger, in the stall, wrapped up, having his teenage mom wipe his butt. It's just not a lordly position. It's difficult for us to see Jesus as Lord. And so that's why I'm really thankful that this stanza of our hymn invites us back into the scriptural truth that Jesus is Lord. And the stanza places before us poetically an image of Jesus that we need to hold on to and in a lot of ways that we need to be held by. Let all mortal flesh keep silence, and with fear and trembling stand. Ponder nothing earthly minded, for with blessings in his hand, Christ our God to earth descending, comes our homage to demand. That's strong. Comes our homage to demand. Let all mortal flesh keep silence before this coming King. Now, we don't do silence well. I don't do silence well. Partly it's just uncomfortable. Partly our lives are just filled with noise. There's music on. There's people talking. There's HVAC system just whirring. There's beautiful baptismal fountain bubbling. I get to hear that. We don't really have a lot of silence in our lives. And yet there's something about a trembling silence before our God who comes to demand our homage that's appropriate for us in this season of Advent. And so I want to offer you two images that if we hold them in tension, I think can invite us into an experience of what it feels like to have a silent disposition before the coming of Jesus. And they're two very different pictures. One's biblical and one's not. And they are going to pull at your brain in different directions, perhaps. But if we can hold them together, it allows us to step into that posture of awe before the coming of Jesus. So the first image comes from a scripture that we read just a couple weeks ago as we're going through the story. It's the episode when King David, the new king, wants to bring the Ark of the Covenant to his home. So the Ark of the Covenant, it was this box that contained things like the Ten Commandments and Moses' staff, and it was where God chose to be located. It was where God was present among his people. And so David is settled in the land. He's got his own castle, more or less, and he wants to bring God, the very presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, into his dwelling place. And so he gets the carolers ready. He sets out all the Christmas lights. He's got the tinsel, right? He's got refreshments, and it's a parade, and it's a party, and it's this festive thing. People are singing down the streets, and the ark is making its way to David's house. And just imagine, both sides of the streets are lined with people, and there's tambourines, and there's singing, and there's dancing, and David is in great procession. The king is recklessly dancing before the procession of the very presence of God. And picture in your mind's eye those crowds of people. Their grins are toothy, right? Their eyes are squinty because it's real smiles, and they're singing with gusto, and just this festive spirit. And then the ark starts to slip. If you can imagine, you know, maybe zoom in on one person's face. Most of the people are just singing, not paying attention, but some people are watching the ark because they're captivated by it. And imagine their face when they see it start to slip. So they're singing and they're dancing, and can you imagine that kind of, that hiccup, gasp? They're clapping, which hopefully is more on beat than mine. All of a sudden, it kind of misses a beat. And they have that. Have you ever had that moment where you want to say something, but you know that you can't even say it in time? Where you almost bite your lips and tongue because it's too late by the time you saw it? Imagine the ark starts to slip, and you see that person. And then imagine that same person watches Uzzah, an Israelite, who's going to step in and save the day. Uzzah's in position. He's going to keep it from falling. So he stretches out his hand to keep it from crashing to the ground, and the Lord strikes him dead. So that person who's watching it singing, what does their face look like then? Like maybe a step backwards too? Like the very presence of God. In some ways, if you remember the Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones, like melt your face off. Presence of God creates a certain awe, if that's an adequate word, a surprising realization of the presence of God that creates legitimate trembling and fear. That's the God we worship. The God who says, be still. The Jesus who on the boat when the waves are crashing, English, nice translation, say, be still. It's probably more helpful to say, shut up. And the wind and the waves obey. That God chooses to be present with his people. And at that point, King David said, let's send that thing somewhere else. And I think he was probably pretty smart to do so. So if you can picture that person in the crowd with the first gasp when the ark starts to slip and the second gasp when they see Uzzah struck down, let all mortal flesh keep silence and with fear and trembling stand, ponder nothing earthly minded. The second image couldn't be more different. So I'm sorry if this is going to give you a little whiplash. You ever buy a lottery ticket? I don't buy them a whole lot. I've probably bought 5 or 6 in my life. You know, I tend to be pretty discerning with how I spend my $2 here and there. You know, it starts at $40 million. Come on, waste of time. $50 million, psh, what's that? $100 million, nah, I'm not even going to slow down. $200 million, I start to kind of look at, you know. $300 million, I'm interested. $400 million. Get air conditioning in here for that. $500 million, you know, $600 million, $700 million, 800, these are made up numbers, but you know, they've been up 800, 900 million not too recently. And so one of those $900 million jackpots, and you know, what the heck, you're getting a Slurpee anyway, throw $2 in the pot, it's worth a little fun, a little thrill, and so you've got your ticket. Is it six numbers plus the Powerball one? I don't know. We'll say it's six plus the one. So you got your ticket. It's whatever night that happens, Wednesday evening, and you're watching the little bingo thing with the floaty balls going around, and it goes whoop, and up the tube. One for one. My heart's already racing just thinking about that. Balls are bouncing around. Whoop, reads the number, two for two. Three for three. Heart's going a little bit more. Four for four. Five for five. Right? Six for six. Can you imagine? I can't even fathom if number seven, the last one's getting drawn, and I'm six for six, and I've got my ticket here. I would imagine it's one of those moments when your adrenaline is so pumping through your veins that everything is incredibly slow. You know, you're watching the balls bounce around. You watch it go up the tube. And your hands are just trembling, just absolutely trembling like they've never trembled before. And the house could be on fire, right? Your mother could be screaming for help in the other room. Right, your firstborn is trapped under something. Nothing else matters. You are right. I love my children, by the way, and my mother. But you are just right there from that tube. Your eyesight is so keen, like you're watching like facial muscles twitch of that person that you didn't know they were that muscles. You know, like you're seeing the hairs on their knuckles as they grab the next ball, and as they start to form, just tremble. If you can somehow bring those together, of the absolute silent terror of the presence of God and the unimaginable anticipation and expectation of something given to you that is beyond the world. Let all mortal flesh keep silence, and with fear and trembling stand. Ponder nothing earthly minded, for with blessings in his hand. Christ our God to earth descending comes our homage to demand. This Jesus comes to give life. Taking that ball is nothing compared to taking that wafer. That sip of wine. Christ our God to earth descending. Comes our homage to demand. That same Jesus wrapped in cloths is the Jesus who will come again. The name of which every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus is which I say, come quickly, Lord Jesus.